Leaders Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 192, and this is our first live stream episode. So some of you guys might be viewing this on YouTube. Of course, we have our audio listeners as well. We're trying this just to bring you guys, you know, more content, and so you can see our pretty faces. So you see me, and you see my co-host, as always, Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? What's up, everyone? Yeah, another dynamic here. Trying to figure this out. We're probably going to be terrible at this at first, but we'll do our best, I guess.
Yeah, this live streaming thing is new, and we're just going to try it out. But as always, our episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. But yeah, man, how's your week going?
Pretty good. I haven't worked yet, so I'm happy with that. It's on a little extended weekend vacation.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
It was I went away for the weekend, did a little adventuring and things like that. But let's go right into reviews, and we'll try to get this thing to work here with our first review of the week. And it seemed like it was case week. It really was case week, I feel.
Yeah.
We reviewed 3 cases in a week, which is not typically normal, but we had 2 launches plus another case, and we'll talk about our first case launch, which was the Corsair IQ 465X RGB. You know, when Corsair launched IQ, the actual software, they had some stuff that worked with it, but nothing that worked like perfectly when it came to cases. And you know, they did the 680X, but the 680X was $250, and that's kind of on the high end of cases, I would say. So they just announced or just released the IQ 465X, which is a little less expensive. It's $150, and this it's like your typical, you know, 3 tempered glass panel or 2 tempered glass panel case with 3 RGB fans. The RGB fans are their LL120s. Just to give you a reference, a 3-pack of those costs about $100. So you're getting a case with that for an extra $50 with 2 tempered glass side panels. It is a good case, I would say. I would say, like, normally this would be like a $100 case, but you add in the RGBs and it's more expensive, obviously. It is a really good case. I didn't run into too many issues. I'll go to our installation here. And there were a few things that bothered me slightly. One of them being the cable management towards the bottom. So you have all these, you know, all your connections right here at the bottom of your motherboard. And the big thing is that, one, your motherboard sits directly flush with the bottom here, and you only have this single cable routing hole with the rubber insert. And, you know, I have a USB 3.0 header, USB 2.0 header, 3 fan headers from the fans, and then my motherboard or my case headers here. And you have the PCI Express, all that together. Just kind of, it's just too busy. I wish there were just, you know, holes like right here.
Yeah, normally that's just right directly below it, so you can shoot them up right underneath it.
Yeah, see how this one I have here for our HD audio header.
Yeah,
you know, like, I would like one right there. Just make things much easier. It just got a little busy there. And another thing, you can see it in this picture, is that there is no exhaust fan. So you do have intake. And one thing which we can talk about with the intake, if we go to our one of these pictures, is that we do actually have an actual intake. So many of these tempered glass, front tempered glass cases we saw a lot last year, was they put the glass panel directly flush with the front of the case, and you got no air cooling whatsoever. So with this, you know, you actually have intake, which is nice. So but the 3 fans, you do get an included controller, which I'll show you, which is right here. And this is for your RGB. So this is only for RGB control. You'll be able to get RGB control, but you still need to plug the fans into power somehow. So you need 3 open fan headers, either on your motherboard or in another controller.
There's no fan power whatsoever on that hub.
There's no fan power. It's only for RGB.
That's super weird.
And it still blows my mind that Corsair hasn't come up with a dual solution, one that gives you power in speed control, all through IQ with RGB control. Like, all of their controllers work like this with RGB control, meaning that you have to plug the fans into power somehow.
At the very least, they should have a fan hub header or fan hub on the back as well. Like, to, even if it's not one board, they should have both. That really drops the like value of this. I would say sub 100. Like, take away the RGB fans and like drop this thing down like below $100 easily. This is like $80, $70 case when you start taking that away from it. Like,
yeah, it like this case again to me, it just seems like $100 case. But because of the cost of the RGB fans, and you do get that controller, which again allows you to use the fans with IQ and everything like that. One thing I did like, and we talked about it before when we talked about the 680X and the other Corsair case we reviewed recently, is that these are metal now. These little the SSD mounts are metal, which is like a nice thing to see. But
should've,
I think
should have been standard in the first place, probably.
Yeah, it should have been standard in the first place. But I do like this case. I think it gets across, like, this is, if you're going into the Corsair ecosystem, this is a great case to get because it does give you the controller for your RGBs, which you still get three more empty spots on it. So if you want to buy, if you want to pick up an exhaust fan and maybe some top fans, you'll be able to connect them and have all your RGBs in sync and everything like that, which of course is a plus. The tempered glass panels are decently thick. They're 4 millimeter. Typically we see 3 millimeter. So 4 millimeter, nice and thick. And it's not tinted or anything like that. Like, the glass isn't really tinted. So with, the fans on and we have, our memory and our AMD cooler there, it lights up the case pretty well, so it's not like a case where you need an extra strip or anything like that. So like I said, I think it's good. I think for the price, you can't complain about the price considering the price of the fans. But if these weren't like software controlled, 16 individual ARGBs in each fan, I would make this like a $100 case or maybe an $89 case. But because of the fans and the controller, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just kind of can't believe they don't have a fan power source.
Yeah, that's, like I said, I would hope in this next generation of upcoming Corsair products that they have that combined controller, whatever it may be. They don't even sell one like that. They don't sell a controller that has fan power as well. And it would be nice to just run everything through IQ, right? Like, even your fan speeds and everything, you want to run it all through IQ. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because in my case with this, like, I had to control the fans via my motherboard software. Because
two pieces of software.
So yeah, so like I mean, said,
when you're using any other Corsair product, like cooling product, you do get fan control through IQ. So
yeah,
why would they not build a controller? I mean, and maybe they are. Maybe this isn't the first person to mention that, or we're not the first person. But I would have thought, even if it wasn't a software controlled hub, you'd have something to power the fans.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's, you kind of get what you get with this case. Looking at it just without the fans, $150 is a lot for what you get. But with the fans, it just makes sense because again, the fans are $100.
Yeah.
And then it's an extra $50 for the case. So take it for what it is. Like I said, the big things with me is there's no rear fan here, so you kind of,
Yeah.
You wish
even throwing in a non RGB fan back there would have been helpful too.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that it's a nice case, but like sometimes Corsair forgets things that seem super obvious, and I don't get it because they're such a well rounded company and they do such a good job most of the time.
Yeah. So like I said, check out the review. Like I said, I can't complain about the price based on the price of the fans, but it's not per se the best tempered glass case with RGB fans out there. But in this price range, probably, with that type of RGB control, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll talk about our next case, which also launched this week, and it's a new Fractal Design case, and it's one that's not named Define or Meshify, which we've known those series for so long.
Yeah.
It is their new Vector RS, And I have to say, this is one of the better cases I reviewed this year. It's not super flashy, which I think we did see there. What was that case? Their Define S2 Vision, which was super RGB in your face. This is more just a more relaxed look, a more sleek look, I think. Their whole idea was like, you know, the Define series is more or less like a box. This has some different, you know, angles on it and stuff. But this is sort of a great mix of a case that's going to look great. You do get the tempered glass window, but on the inside, it has a lot of storage. And I think in total, you can fit up to 16 hard drives in here, I believe, through this back panel here. So you have, you know, your normal two SSD mounts right here, but then you have these trays, which again, everything here is metal. We know Fractal Design for great, just great design and great quality. So all of the, and then you have these trays here, and these trays can be pulled out. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You get 6 by default, but then you could fit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more. So you have quite a lot of storage you can fit in here. And these trays, you can move them around, obviously. You can put them wherever you want. But they allow this case to just have a multitude of storage, which I really like. You know, there's so many people who just are storage hoarders, I would say. And you have so much space here. But it just in general, you have that great internal design that we're used to seeing from Fractal Design. You do have the fan controller, and this is for power and fan speed. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so you do get 3 fans included with this. You get 2 in the front and then this rear one right here. They're all 140s, which is nice as well. And, you know, you can connect those to the fan controller here. All the cable routing is done quite well. There are tie-down points on here, but you really don't need to use them all that much. And it's just, like I said, it's just a good case from Fractal Design, a little bit different than what we're used to seeing from them. But it's like taking a step back from their Define S2 Vision RGB and going with like a more kind of just still like a sleek look, but nothing crazy in your face. And again, giving you a lot of different options. So say you don't want to use all that storage, this section right here, this entire section can be completely removed. So then you can probably fit water cooling or things like that in here as well. So that's pretty cool.
Is it just those 2 thumb screws, or is there more to remove that?
These 2 thumb screws give you access into here, but this sort of section, it can all be taken out.
Okay.
Which is really nice. You know, it gives you options, I would say, because when you put everything together, as we'll go into our installation here, I left that on, but I could have easily taken it off. You know what I mean? So when you have everything in there, it's just kind of like, it would have been nice to just not have that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they did give us this case does support vertical GPU. You do have to buy the riser, which is like $46, but you can see it does. It's the first actually vertical GPU I've installed. I've never done a riser. I guess I did one in the Thermaltake Core series, but that's like how the case came. But as far as like doing it in another standard, standard case, the first time I've done it. So everything went in well here. Really no issues with anything with this case. Like I didn't run into a single issue. As you can see, the front lights up here. So you have an ARGB strip, which they do include the controller, so you can control it yourself, or it's a standard 3-pin addressable header, and it works with all of the motherboard software. So you can control it that way. I didn't mention you do get the top glass panel here. So you have tempered glass here, and on the front,
so that one little side panel glass too?
Yeah, this is a tempered glass inlay right here. Now it's an inlay, meaning that it's not, you don't see through it.
Right, but it's a design element.
Yeah. And then one thing that's really nice about this case too is that if you don't per se want to use the glass top because you want cooling, they actually give you a different panel. So they give you the insert for radiators or fans that you can install. They give you the filter, and they give you this piece here Which of course provides cooling, because if you have glass, there's obviously no cooling there. Yeah. So it's nice that it's all included. Like, you don't have to buy this stuff extra if you want to do that.
Other than the riser.
Yeah, other than the riser, but everything else comes included with this case. It is, I believe it's, yeah, it's $179, which is on the higher end, but mm-hmm. I think with the quality, the amount of storage, which is a lot, I think by default, it's, what is it, eight drives by default. And you can add another five more, which is a lot. Yeah. This can support EATX as well. So just a good case, a great case by Fractal Design, a different look, but not something that's crazy or that kind of, you know, if you look at this case, you can be like, this is a Fractal Design case. The tempered glass panels are slightly tinted, but they're not really. But if you are going to, you know, want to show off your system, as you can see, like, it's not the brightest mm-hmm. in there, even from like the side view. I mean, you can kind of see some stuff, but I would suggest getting like an RGB strip or something like that.
Right. You mentioned the RGB strip. You were just talking about the one on the exterior.
Yes.
Yeah. Earlier. Okay. It doesn't come with one.
It doesn't come with one. No. Okay. You just get the strip here that goes down and then.
It's actually a pretty long strip.
Yeah. And for those wondering, you can kind of see these intakes here. That is, you know, of course, to provide intake for the fans. Another, like I said, they keep that sleek look without kind of ruining it with, I guess you would say mesh or something like that. So.
Instead of ruining it with airflow.
Yeah, with proper airflow. So yeah. I like the case. Like I said, it's one of the best cases that I reviewed so far this year. And I believe I gave it our Editor's Choice Award, which yeah. I don't get give out that, or I get it recommended. But I did give it a 10 out of 10. Like, literally couldn't find anything wrong with this case. Just a great nice. Case overall. So definitely check this review out. And we'll move over to Ryan's review, which he took a look at a case that we got a little preview at CES earlier this year. It is the Inwin 905. And this case is very impressive, as it's made basically from a single piece of brushed aluminum. And we know how much you love aluminum cases.
Yeah, it's super nice.
It is just a great case overall. He really enjoyed it so much so that he actually moved his main system into here, added more fans, did all that kind of stuff. The internal design is a little different compared to other cases, and we know that from Inwin. You know, as you can see, there's like no cooling in the top. You actually get cooling coming in here, and then there's like a vent here that has a filter on it and all that. It does come with three of these fans, and they're not like full RGB fans. There's just an RGB ring that goes around, but I think that actually works out quite well. If we go to his installation, you can see he added more of those fans, and his build came out great. Like, it looks really, really good with all the fans installed. So here it is with like just like the stock fans. You can see them right there. Looking pretty good. But then he went and added more on the bottom there. Mm-hmm. And you can see that just looks pretty awesome. And I think a lot of companies, we saw it at CES a little bit, but a lot of companies are going to go more towards this, like, not as RGB in your face design, where it's just like the ring around the fan rather than the actual blades.
I think it's a better aesthetic. I think that we've reached the point with the ARGB where like the market's fully saturated with options for just like blasting you with light. And now it's time for a little bit more design and a little more thought out options.
Yeah. I agree for sure. It looks really good. And he really enjoyed this case. I believe he gave this an Editor's Choice, which again, we don't give out often. He liked it so much. It is expensive. This case is not cheap. Yeah. It's $300, but this is a fully aluminum case, mm-hmm. Which, you know, and you get this big ass tempered glass panel right there. And it's just such a unique design. It's like I said, it's one of those Inwin cases that you're going to pay for it, but it's not going to look like any other case out there, really. Looks really cool. He really enjoyed it. Definitely check out the full review there. And we'll move on to one of but like I say, a better build this week for Case Mod Friday. This is a Thermaltake Core P3, which was done by the guys over at High Resolution Computer Shop. And they have kind of made it into more of a case. If you're not familiar with the Core P3, basically it's more of like a wall mount type case, kind of. And what they've done is they've added these sort of elements. Like if we look at the front here, you can see that they've added, I guess it's just acrylic there, and they've added a top piece.
Partial panels.
Yeah, to make it more like a case. And I think that actually works out quite well for them. Because when the Core P-Series came out, I really liked it, but it just... I guess it just kind of got bored of it, and it just like...
Well, everything was basically the same that you could do with it.
Yeah, I agree. So as you can see, it just makes it more look like a case. It looks like a normal case to me.
Front panel or a side panel.
Yeah. So they've just done a really great job on this one. Great colors. It's just a solid build all around. And one thing, you're the water cooling guy. I don't know if you can see this right here, but this is, they made an acrylic channel instead of tubing, like mm-hmm. your traditional hard tubing like this, they made this acrylic channel that I believe goes from their GPU over and then down into the pump. But then it goes over to the CPU. And I don't know where this one goes, but it's instead of using hard tubing, they use an actual I don't know what you want to call that.
Well, it's just like a sandwich board with channels cut into it. It's actually really cool and probably fairly difficult to, maybe not. You just get all the tubings cut to the same length and then you're good. But
and it kind of in this photo, it kind of mirrors the GPU block almost.
It does, yeah.
So it goes into the VRM cooling here on the motherboard.
Yeah,
that's just cool. I think it's just something different. High Resolution Computer Shop, they do a lot. Like this is a custom build for a customer. I would be a very happy customer to get this. It just looks that great. I mean, it's just just really really cool. It's not much really, like I said, not a whole lot to say about this, but I really liked how they just made this look like a normal case. Because again, in the regular Core P3, you wouldn't get this top where they added the radiator and everything like that. That would typically be over here. They've added that res, kind of like the res you see on the Li and Li case, kind of like the same type of placement. So, and I'm pretty sure this all lights up right here, which is cool. This base plate here.
Yeah, the diffuser in the bottom.
Yeah, I think that kind of makes it too. Makes it pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, I can never get enough of those in either mid plate or bottom like this one. That always is a great touch.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely check this one out. And as we always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you're looking for something or you're just looking for ideas of what you can do or what you can build, we have a full section that's been up there for 4 years or something like that. So we have quite a lot of builds there. And we do have a contest. I totally forgot. We are running a contest this week, and we're running it with our friends over at Alpha Cool. It is super easy to enter. We're giving away one of their iSpare Extremes, which you guys can see when I move this over. Sorry, I'm getting used to this thing. Here you go. You guys can see the iSpare Extreme, which Derek reviewed. And it's pretty much their high-end all-in-one liquid cooler, and we have one to give away, and you can see there's already 3,075 entries into the contest, and we have a ton of ways that you can enter. It's super simple. Just get in on it.
It's a great cooler, guys. Like, I run this thing at 24/7 on my 9900K, and it keeps it actually quite cool. Even under heavy loads. So, 240 millimeter fans built into it, pump, res built in. It's all in one. You just pull it out and snap the the mount together and screw in the radiator. The thing is really nice. It is massive though. Make sure you've got a pretty good size case or you're not fitting this thing.
Yeah, we actually ran into that problem. We were doing our review, but yeah, shout out to Alpha Cool for hooking us up with this. Again, tons of ways to enter and everything like that. So a lot of entries already, but definitely get your entry in. And one thing I did want to mention, most of our contests are US and Canada only, but Alpha Cool hooked us up. So it's Europe and Australia also. So if you're in Europe or Australia, you can definitely enter this contest. So we will have the link to this, of course, in our show notes, but it's on the main page of the site as well. So let's jump over to news. And we have some stuff from the past week because we didn't do a podcast last week. So we'll talk about that very quickly. One of the first things here, as I bring it up, bring it over here, is that ASRock actually launched their Tai Chi RX 5700 XT. It's called their Tai Chi X. And this is something that if you've been listening to the podcast that I was pretty excited about for a while. I love the Tai Chi brand from ASRock, especially when it comes to their motherboards. And to translate the design and hopefully the quality over to graphics cards, I think it's great. I think the card looks great too. You know, you have the triple fan design with the center fan not actually having RGBs. I don't believe they're in the fan, but they're kind of around the fan like that. I think it's a different design. It looks pretty cool. You know, and it's good to have another, you know, we have Phantom Gaming from ASRock. It's good to have another brand. And usually Tai Chi gives you a lot of quality for a reasonable price. And hopefully that translates when it comes to this. One thing that is interesting, if you look at your things here, you get two HDMI and four DisplayPort, which is quite a lot. Usually it's three DisplayPort and one HDMI on this. So if you're looking to rock multiple displays, you have quite a lot of outputs there, which is great to see as well. So yeah, like I said, I like it. I like the direction ASRock is going when it comes to different graphics cards again, because this is just another line they have. So I believe the Phantom Gaming will be more expensive, and then the Tai Chi will be a little bit less expensive, but hopefully giving you good quality as well. So yeah, it's good to see. I like it for sure. And then also talking about graphics cards, it looks like NVIDIA will be launching a GTX 1650 on October 22nd. So both AMD and NVIDIA are getting down to, you know, the entry level, not stuff that we're super excited about. You know what I mean? We're not necessarily, like I said, super excited about any of that. But for a lot of people, it gives you better graphics than, of course, onboard graphics, which I hope nobody's running.
They are better than they used to be.
Yeah. It's going to be a 1650 Ti, and this will effectively replace the 1050 Ti, which has been out. I reviewed it maybe 2 years ago, I think 2 years ago. And that card was actually, for the price, not a bad card for what you're going to get. It was listed online on, I think, a Japanese website for 1,100 yen, which is about $155 US. The GTX 1650, the non-TI, is selling for 150, and the 1660 is 220. There are thoughts that they might drop the price of the 1650 down a little bit and put the 1650 TI in the middle somewhere there. But yeah, it's just going to be, again, this the low-end battle's coming, and NVIDIA, this is what they're going to be launching, apparently.
It doesn't sound like they really have, I guess it's a decent price gap, but like,
it's very crowded. It's getting very crowded with all the different cards. Very crowded.
But I guess when you're shopping this low-end price, like $20 is a big deal to you.
Yeah.
Versus the higher end where like even saying like 50 or 100 isn't a big deal, you know, jumping to get you to the next series or whatever. But yeah, 20, 30 bucks might make the difference when you're down at the bottom end.
Yeah, it's just like I said, I mean, it's for us, we're like, yeah, it's, you know, the $150 card or whatever. Yeah. But a lot, that's a lot of people are just, you know, because there is a considerable drop between onboard graphics and a discrete card, just in general. The biggest thing is the amount of VRAM that you're getting. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
It's going to help you if you pump down your settings. If you want a game in 1440, you can drop down your settings and you'll have enough RAM to do it. You know what I mean?
If you just want the real estate, the screen space. Yeah.
But yeah, it just, like I said, running discrete is just always better. So this is going to be one of those cards for that. We're not sure if it's going to use the TU-117 from the 1650 or the TU-116 from the 1660 and 1660 Ti. It will be cut down if it's a TU-116 or if it's the TU-117. It probably will make full use of that chip. And it's supposed to have 4 GB of GDDR5. So yeah, that's not super exciting. But on the AMD side, HP actually listed some pre-built PCs. One that will feature an RX 5300 XT and the B550 chipset. So we'll talk about the Radeon RX 5300 XT. Now, we have been hearing rumors about these low-end AMD cards, you know, not the 5700, but like we've seen 55. Actually, this week, a benchmark from 55 came out, but the 53 is pretty low-end, much like that 1050 or the 1650 Ti. The big thing is that this low of a card might not be based off Navi at all. It could be a rebrand, which, you know, AMD is pretty popular for their rebrands.
It's a feature at this point.
Yeah, we don't know yet. But could easily be a Polaris rebrand, or it could be a very low-end Navi chip, but we don't know yet. So that's pretty much it on that card. Like, we really don't know much anything else. Just these systems, you know, were listed, which of course for us these don't look like anything great. But you know, they do list a B550 chipset and of course a Radeon 5300 XT with 4 GB of GDDR5 right there. And the other thing is the B550 chipset. So we've been expecting B550. It wasn't like a secret or anything. And that's kind of like the, you know, just like the middle ground chipset or more entry-level chipset for Ryzen 3000 series processors. And the specs on that were actually just, I guess, leaked. I wouldn't say leaked, but the big thing with the B550 compared to like an X570 is that there's no PCI Express 4.0, which kind of makes sense just because it's a lower-end chipset. And that high-end chipset feature requires more signal power. It requires a lot more. That's why, of course, the X570 motherboards are more expensive, and they just are. So you're not going to get PCI Express 4.0, and you're only going to get two USB 3.2 Gen 2 devices, six USB 2.0, and the 4+4 SATA 3 connections. And the one important thing, which I don't think is going to make a big deal, but it's worth mentioning, is the interlink between the CPU and the chipset is done via PCI Express 3.0, not 4.0, there was never a problem on, you know, like say B450 or anything like that. So all of this stuff is supposed to be out in October. I think it's gonna be a really good thing for AMD just because, you know, when Ryzen second gen, like B450 was such a great chipset. If you weren't looking to really do anything, you know, like crazy,
just plugging parts in and using it.
Yeah, like if you weren't really doing anything, I believe B550 will still support overclocking too. I'm pretty sure B450 did. So, you know, you can still do overclocking, but you're not going to get as many features. You don't have any need for PCI Express 4.0. You could match a, you know, Ryzen 3000 series part, like a Ryzen 5, like the 3600X with a B550 board, maybe a B550 board's 100, the 125, 150 bucks. And you could still have a pretty awesome system there. So that is, you know, that's pretty exciting. I think it's, you know, like I said, people have been wanting it because X570, like Ryzen 3000 series processor and an X570 board are pretty expensive to get into. I mean, they just are.
Yeah. And you got to assume that 550 is going to be relatively expensive compared to what it has been in the past too. So I would say the real question at this point is, why don't you just get a 450 board?
That is true, because the feature set is, you are going to get like USB 3.2 on this, like you didn't have that on B450.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's the same thing.
You have devices that are going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Right. If you're at the bottom end, like you're not upgrading, like you're not the guy that's probably going out and buying like the fastest drives and portable drives and stuff either. So,
yeah. I mean, it's what a lot of people, when they message us about asking questions about Ryzen 3000 series, they're like, yeah, I'm matching it with the B450 board because it's backwards compatible.
Yeah. And you save yourself $300-$400 that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's substantial at this point. So I think that AMD has to be careful here not to price themselves away from their actual consumer base, right? Like they're stepping that way. We've talked about it a bunch, but like they seem to be continuing that way. And I mean, especially when there's still options from old stock. So I mean, you can go on Newegg right now and buy 450, so brand new. So it's not like there's nothing out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's tons of B450 boards out there, and they're really good. Especially like I said, and the big thing which we did a video on was the mini ITX B450 matched with even a 2600X or anything like that. Like you have an awesome LAN rig that's just ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you don't need all of the power delivery, cause you're going to run a lower core count chip or something like that. So
yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, so we'll see when those boards come out. It's supposed to be in October at some point. And we'll definitely let you know, and hopefully we'll get some of those boards into review. So pretty excited for that when that time comes. But talking about another win for AMD, it looks like Microsoft will be using AMD hardware in at least one SKU of their upcoming Surface device. You know, this is a pretty big win for AMD, I think, because, yeah. I mean, taking a company, it doesn't matter. I mean, Microsoft Surface, you might not think is that big of a compared to like an HP or a Dell or something like that. But I
kind of think it's bigger than people understand, though.
It is quite big. A lot of people buy Surface laptops. They're actually, from everybody I've talked to, a lot of like my computer friends, like people who are well-informed, they love their Surface.
Yeah.
They love it.
Because it functions like a tablet, but it's powered like a Ultrabook.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the reason I say it's a big win because forever, I mean, since the introduction of Surface laptops and tablets, Microsoft solely used Intel parts completely.
Yep.
But it looks like at least for one SKU, if not more, at least one will be powered by a Ryzen 3000 series, you know, like a Ryzen 3000 series, Ryzen 3000U or Ryzen 3000H, you know, a low power part.
Yeah.
That's a great win, and that's a good customer to have if you're AMD.
Yeah,
it just shows you that this is a great win for them mentally, because it shows you like, okay, in the mobile side, somebody believes in us enough to not use an Intel part or have us as an alternative to Intel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, even if it's the lowest end part you can get, like it's for them to have achieved like that acceptance is like being able to do low power stuff, which they've struggled with always. That's a big step for them. Even with the launch of Ryzen, they still mobile was struggling quite a bit. So yeah, for the 3000 series to be accepted and taken by picked up as an, you know, as an by a big OEM, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. So it's pretty awesome win for them. It's likely that this all will be announced at their Surface event on October 2nd. The big thing that I'm pretty excited for this, and like I'm not a super big like mobile person, but their dual screen device called Centaurus should be announced there too. It kind of looks like this. That looks pretty cool. This is like a cool device to have.
I don't think foldable screen?
I think it's two screens. I'm not sure.
That looks pretty seamless.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah. How big is it?
I don't know.
About the size of a small tablet?
Yeah, I haven't really. Well, here's like a pen. So, like,
yeah.
Think of, you know.
Interesting. Man, I always question on screen keyboards like that, though.
Yeah, because you want the feedback.
Yeah, it's so difficult. But maybe that's just because we're old.
Yeah, we are old. It does look like a cool device. And again, that event happens on October 2nd, and you should be able to stream. I assume you should be able to stream it. And we'll have all the details once it all gets released and stuff like that, like, you know, what they talked about at the event. But again, pretty big win there for AMD. Mm-hmm. On the other side of things, 400 series motherboards. Intel 400 series motherboards have shown up on the ECC, which is the Eurasian Economic Commission.
You got it.
Basically, you need to register all these and all that. So, you know, this is Intel kind of gearing up for their next their 10 series of processors, and of course the new motherboards that you'll need to get. So on the high end, you'll have Z490, and then you'll have H470s, B460s, and H410s. And these are all the boards just from Gigabyte. And I don't think this is complete list because there's definitely not enough Aorus boards on here. it's just gearing up. We don't know when the 10 series will launch. We've been hearing, you know, like November, we've heard January, we don't know. But all these boards pretty much are ready to, I mean, if they're importing them, they're ready to go.
Yeah. I would suggest they just put it back in the bag and, let's just wait for the next series. Let's just,
Even if they're adding it to 10 cores, which they're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even if they're still the fastest single core.
Yeah. It's just, and that's the thing. I think that, you know, they're going to say when AMD, which is supposed to be in November now, when they release their 16 core, Intel is going to release their 10 core 10 99k or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
you know, and they're gonna say, yeah, we're still the fastest at gaming or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
but it's just so hard pressed to, with what you know is coming, which we all hope is 10 nanometer.
Yeah,
and the performance you would hope that they would gain, right? It's just, as somebody who gives people advice, like we give people advice on what they should buy, you know, for tell them to buy that now when in 8 months to 12 months there'll be something that's going to blow it completely out of the water. It's just so
the
hard
when the actual new thing comes out, as opposed to you want to talk about rebrand. This is the rebrand of all rebrands, basically.
Yeah, it's 14 nanometer plus.
Yeah, and still no PCI 4.
Yeah, no PCI Express 4.0 on these boards either.
These boards are like nothing new. They'll claim there'll be something. Well, they'll have a new USB.
They'll have USB 3.2 Gen 2, and they'll have Wi-Fi 6 probably. Those are like the two new features we saw on a lot of the X570 boards. They'll have a newer designs, probably crazy VRM cooling. I'm guessing
they'll probably have wicked cool ARGBs on them for sure.
So they're coming. If you want to check out look at the list that we have here, quite a lot of boards from Gigabyte, but they're all kind of expected, like you would expect, you know, like a
standard board,
Z490 Aorus Elite, a Z490 Gaming X, all that kind of stuff. Our last piece of news, and this is probably one of the most interesting stories of the week, because we've talked multiple times about Epic Games and the Epic Game Store and how everybody hates it. And this makes me like Epic so much more, this story, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But the big thing with Epic over the past 8 months, I don't even know how long, probably something like that, is that they have got exclusives for very popular games, this Control being one of them, which I'll bring up here. Control being one of the big exclusives, but you know, we had
Metro.
Yeah, I always get that BioShock mixed up.
Exodus.
Yeah, Metro Exodus was a huge one. Of course, just came out last week. Borderlands 3, massive title. And we always said that, you know, Epic is throwing money to get these exclusives, but we never knew the details, right? We knew the breakdown of what developers are getting as far as like the, you know, each
percentages.
Sale. Yeah, we knew that. And that was good for developers, but we always wondered, you know, they're getting these exclusives, like how, or, you know, what, how much are they paying developers? Is it a flat fee? What the deal, you know, what's the deal? So Control, which is a very great single player game that just came out by 505 Games, according to their recent revenue report, which they have to report this revenue, they received $10.5 million up front to become a PC exclusive on PC for the Epic Game Store. And what's interesting is that the $10.5 million corresponds to 200,000 game sales. So basically, Epic is paying upfront for 200,000 game sales. So before, you know, they get that money
before already. before the final line of code is even written.
Yeah, before the final. Yeah. So, and they get 100% of that profit, you know, of the first 200,000 game sales. Now, after 200,000, it goes to the normal revenue model, which we all know. I think this is awesome for a developer because you're guaranteed money, right? I don't know if there's a clause if you don't sell that many.
Why would they? What would you risk it?
Yeah, but
as a developer,
you're getting guaranteed money, right? You're getting guaranteed money up front. You're getting basically a big company is more or less buying 200,000 units off the bat.
Yeah, at full price.
yeah, at full price, and you're getting it up front, which means you're getting it whenever you do the deal is probably 6 to 8 months out from when you're actually launching the game.
Which is probably right when you're starting to run into budget issues for finishing your game.
The dreaded crunch and everything like that. And once you are an Epic, after 200,000, you're still getting a really good price. You're getting a really good cut of the sale of the game after the 200,000. This makes me really like Epic because, like, who does that? Who gives you money up front for
somebody with Fortnite bucks?
I mean, that's awesome. It enables developers to not worry as much about certain things. It just gives them more room to operate. I think this is just such an awesome thing that they're doing.
I mean, good for them. It also, unfortunately, I would say for Epic, this the standard, like, well, how much money can I get from Epic for what can I get out of them? Like, it's out there now. Like,
yeah,
no, like, that's a good chunk.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. But I can't hate on Epic for this because for developers, this is awesome.
Yeah, that's going all in on a game too. Like, that's really putting your faith into it.
Yeah. Yeah, so very cool for Epic to do that. And, you know, like I guess they'll continue to do it that way. That's pretty awesome. And I think Epic pays all this money. The way for them to get that money back is by sales, right? But it allows Epic to push this game because they want to get those sales to make that initial investment back, right?
Yeah, they, for all intents and purposes, they are invested in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very cool dynamic. I like it. I think, you know, that they like I said, it's just a great job by Epic and a way to really like pony up. Like I said, I mean, that's a lot of money to just put up, and you don't know how a game's going to perform sales wise. You know,
no, you can only bomb on so many of those before you.
$10.5 million, $10.5 million, $10.5 million, $10.5 million, and then they each sell maybe like 20,000 units, and you're like. So is it for news for the week, and we'll talk about what we have coming up next week as far as reviews. So just launched today, and I'll have this review up here shortly, is Cooler Master's new mouse. This is their MM710, which we've seen a few of these. It's very similar design, it's made to be very lightweight, so as you can see it has all these holes in there. It's only the weight, it says less than 53 grams, so very, very light. It's very interesting to game with. but it's supposed to, of course, make you move faster and just feel better and everything like that. So I'll have that review for you guys next week. And I'll also be taking a look at, we talked about onboard graphics. I'll be looking at the Ryzen 5 3400G, which comes with Radeon RX Vega 11 graphics. I think APUs are honestly great for people who just want a computer, right? They want, they don't really want to play anything crazy graphically intensive. They're watching YouTube. They're, you know, they're playing Flash games. They're not, you know, they're not playing AAA titles, you know?
No, definitely not.
It's a great thing. So this is, again, the Ryzen 5 3400G. I'll be taking a look at that. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler, which is from Sith. It's their Big Shuriken 3. This is sort of a low profile, top down CPU cooler. Sith always does a great job with cooling. And this is made to be, you know, their whole design, what they told us, is for like mini ITX, you know, it's that type of small thing, but you could pretty much use this in any smaller build or any build in general. The cooling should be pretty good as well. So I'll have that for us, and that will round out what we have coming up next week. At the end of the podcast, we usually talk about if we did anything cool or saw any movies or did anything tech wise. Did you do anything this past week?
Oh, man, I kind of did a lot actually. Let's see.
I did see a picture. You have to explain this picture to me. I don't know. I think it was on Instagram. You posted a picture of you taking a Dremel to a car.
Oh yeah.
So what was that about? Tell us about that.
Well, I got a new car. I got a 2018 Civic LX hatchback. Nice. It was definitely needed. And I got that model because I needed to put a hitch on it for my bikes. And it's got pretty basic stereo stuff in it, so I had to upgrade that. So I had to cut a little hole to run a USB cable through. So, you know,
nice.
Cut things up.
So you put like a new head unit in, or?
Yeah, exactly. Doubled in Kenwood that I actually had in my truck. So I run Android Auto on that, which is pretty sweet if you've never used it. It's basically like having your phone in the touchscreen on the, you know, like, good 7-inch screen, so it's pretty nice. Yep.
I didn't really do anything that techy, I have to say. I mean, I've just been working on reviews, so I haven't really done anything.
Wandered in the woods some.
I went to this really cool place in West Virginia called Seneca Rocks, where you can climb up basically a peak. People have died there. It's pretty when you're up there, like, I'm not good with heights, and it was pretty pretty scary, I would say. And then we went to this place also in West Virginia called Blackwater Falls State Park. Awesome place. Use my camera, use my DJI Osmo Action, which I've been using a lot lately. That's pretty much it.
Sounds like you probably need to get a drone pretty soon here.
It's getting into holiday season. I'm like, DJI is going to announce a new one soon, because it's usually they do. So I'm kind of waiting. But a lot of people I know who initially bought them, they never use them anymore.
Well, okay. People that buy them as toys, I think, get bored with them.
Yeah.
But if you buy it as a tool,
yeah,
you're going to have that thing, and you're going to be like, well, I pull it out and I get this shot with it now. That's when I think they're most useful. Unless you're just an enthusiast in it, and then you're going to use it. But
yeah,
the people that they sell them to, they're like, I need a drone. They're just buying it because they're like, well, that looks like fun. And maybe they used one for 10 minutes and they're like, oh, I want that. And then they really don't. Yeah. They just want to fly it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So I'll think about it. I don't know. Well, like I said, as it gets into, what are we almost into October here?
Yeah.
Like October, November, I assume they'll announce a new one. And then the ones that have been out might go down in price, or.
That's what I would be waiting for, because the current ones that are out are actually really, all really good.
Really good. Like these, like I said, in their Osmo Action, I do have some issues with it, but overall, it's worked out really great, and I've gotten pretty good with it, and it's an awesome little product. So
nice.
So yeah, and then you went on your bike trip.
Yeah, I went to Waterloo, Wisconsin, right around Madison, Wisconsin, again this year for Truck Cup, which is an international cyclocross race. And super muddy. It rained a bit. It was pretty epic. destroyed some stuff and had a pretty good time. Didn't really place very well ever, but I had a good time.
Yeah, and that's
yeah. So no exaggeration.
I saw that picture. I was like, man,
dude, and like all that ground right there, like that's like the main walkway for people to get out onto the course view. And like that turned to just straight up mud, no grass whatsoever. Oh, just
did that make it fun though for you, or
kind of like it destroys your bike though.
Oh, that's not
like
good, yeah,
like $100 of brake pads just gone on that bike. So, but yeah, it's fun because it's like it's epic. At the end of it, it's like that was crazy. I can't believe that, but yeah, it's ups and downs. It was fun. No regrets.
That's really cool. All right, guys. Well, we will go ahead and end things here. Let us know what you think of us live streaming this. I'm pretty sure the StreamYard allows us to put this on YouTube after. So you'll have the video there as well. So, you know, if you're a normal audio listener, you can watch it on YouTube after, because I know a lot of you guys don't obviously listen to it right away. But yeah, we'll have our full show notes page too. That will be in the section below here, so you can go ahead and see everything that we talked about and all of that fun stuff. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.